But let's begin with a word of prayer, okay, and ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity we have. Lord, it's a beautiful day out. Lord, every time that I even observe your creation and the times of the seasons, Lord, it always reminds me of your faithfulness to us as a people. You certainly have proven yourself over and over again that you are a God who is in control. You're a sovereign God. You're a loving God. And Lord, as we even begin our study in Daniel, Lord, it's very obvious that you are the sovereign God, that you control everything that happens. Nothing takes you by surprise. And more than anything else, Lord, that you give us great hope for the future. So, Lord, I pray for each one of us as we have come here this morning that you'll prepare our hearts, speak to our hearts. Lord, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I can't even stand up here, Lord, without the very fact of knowing that you are with me. And if you weren't, Lord, I don't want to be here. But I thank you, Lord, that you have given your Holy Spirit to each one of us. And so our prayer to you, Lord, is that you will give us understanding of these things. And more than anything else, Lord, it'll give us a greater love and appreciation for you, our God. And Lord, we do look forward to the day that Jesus will be coming back again. And that gives great hope for the future. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here today. Thank you, Lord, for the other Sunday school classes. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would anoint the teachers and encourage the class as they learn the Word of God today. And Father, for the next hour that comes, Lord, what a privilege it is that we could gather together as your children. Lord, together as one in Christ, that's what you intended. And we come with the purpose, not to get entertained, but we come with the purpose to give you praise and honor and worship. You are so deserving of it, Lord. And we want Christ to be exalted today. We want him to be exalted in the preaching and teaching of the word, through the music, through the reading of your words, through the fellowship of the believers here together. Lord, we pray that all this be to the glory of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so as I mentioned, what we're going to be doing is, by the way, there are some outlines in the back there in a chair. If you didn't get one, just grab one back there. And I'll try to every week to have an outline for us that we're going to try to follow. And so let me just start off just saying this. Just to let you know is that some of the material that I have used in bringing this study of Daniel. Certainly, I am just a teacher. God has gifted me in that fact of presenting his word. But it takes a lot of study and everything else, and some of the things that I'm going to share with the class, really, I don't take any credit for it all. You know, I just want you to know. But I will let you know that I've used a number of materials, and so you kind of know where I'm coming from. You could read some of these books yourselves. But some of the resources that I've used for this study of Daniel, obviously one of my favorite is Warren Wiersbe. He's got this B series, and he says Be Resolute is this title of his book for this one. J. Vernon McGee is another one that I've read his material, his books on the subject of Daniel. Jack Van Emp is a evangelist that has dealt in prophecy for many years. Some people may take exception to that, you know, because of his, he's never really come out and given a date of anything like that. Today he's with the Lord, and so he's worshiping the Lord. He died last year, but Nancy and I have really followed his ministry and have supported his ministry for years. And then obviously everyone knows that John MacArthur is one of my favorite preachers. I've read many of his books concerning the end times. Even in his ministry, some of the studies I've done in the past for Armor of God and that, but I just want to let you know is that I probably have read every sermon that John MacArthur has preached on the book of Daniel. And so there are others, too. I've done many studies. I want to make sure that's up front so that I'm not taking any kind of credit for anything that's shared. So some of these thoughts are from these resources that I've kind of brought together in order for us to study the book of Daniel. Okay, in your outline you see right there, obviously the author is Daniel, and his name really is God is my judge. And the time of the writing, most scholars would date the book around 536 B.C. and shortly after his last vision that was given, okay? By the way, he was given four different visions that we're going to study over time. But I just want you to know this, too, is that in Daniel, this is very interesting, is that from Daniel chapter 2, verse 4, to Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, the book is written in Aramaic. And that's interesting because that was the contemporary language of international business. And so that was the common language of the day. And it's interesting that those particular chapters, and we'll see that as we go through this, of why it was written in Aramaic. In Hebrew was chapters 1 to chapter 2, verse 3. And then it's picked up again in Hebrew from 8, 1 to 12 to 13. And I really believe that a lot of that is Daniel's concern, because after that chapter, he basically is really concerned about his people, Israel, with all these visions and interpretations that God has given him, not only through the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, but also the visions that were given to Daniel, okay? But what he wants you to really know is that Daniel really has a concern for his people, as we'll see that as we get into later on chapters, particularly in chapters 8, 9. Well, here's another thing that I want to point out to you, okay, is that Daniel, why it speaks about in the Aramaic language is that it's the language of the people. And as you know, that Daniel, at this particular time, he's in captivity. And Daniel's lifespan really goes through that 70 years of captivity. In fact, if you do some study, you go through the book of Jeremiah, you see that it was prophesied and it was told that because of Israel's sin and rebellion against God, is that he was bringing judgment. And they were warned over and over again, by particularly in the books of Isaiah, but the contemporary prophets of the day, like Jeremiah, basically prophesied the fact that because of their continual disobedience, that God was finally going to bring judgment on them. And we know that because in Daniel's life is that he was part of the first wave of captives who were taken out of Israel and brought into Babylon. There was actually three times that Babylon came in, and because when they would come in, they would set up a temporary king just to kind of run things in that territory. But three times there was rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. And so that there was three waves of times that the Babylonians came, and the final time was they destroyed the city itself, burnt it down, and destroyed the temple. Well, one thing I want you to know, the book of Daniel, and this is interesting, and it's good for us to really talk about this. 1/4 of the book of the Bible are prophetic in nature. I don't know if you ever knew that or not. 1/4 of all that's in this word, 1/4 of it is prophetic in nature. 1/5 of the contents of the scripture is predictive at the time of its writing. And a large segment of the prophecies have been fulfilled. Therefore, we could say then that in scripture itself can be divided into fulfilled prophecy and unfulfilled. And a great deal of the prophecy in Daniel has already been fulfilled. As we get to understand this later on, we're going to look at the timeline of the dream that was given to Nebuchadnezzar. We're going to see that most of that prediction has been fulfilled, okay? 9 out of 12 chapters relate to revelation through dreams and visions. But I want you to remember this more than anything else, and you're going to hear me over and over and say this, is the main subject of prophecy is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we're even going to learn these things that come up, is that the ultimate aim or the ultimate theme that we see right here is that Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's going to set up his forever kingdom. And a lot of what Daniel is going to cover is the kingdoms of the Gentile nations. In fact, we're going to see in a little bit is that Jesus even self-predicted that Jerusalem would be trampled underfoot under the Gentiles until such time that the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. And we are still living in the times of the Gentiles. But isn't it something is that when you think about in our day, in my lifetime, I remember as a young lad at the age of 17 at the time, and we got word that the Six-Day War is that Israel took over all of the holy city, Jerusalem. Israel, in some of our lifetime, not me, but maybe in some of you here, is that Israel became a nation in 1948. And so some of the things that Daniel is going to talk about, people years ago would say, that's never going to happen. God has forsaken Israel, and all of the dealings in the forward is just going to be done all through the church. And so what I'm going to share with you over the weeks that we're going to study this book is that I will go ahead and explain somewhat about the different views that are out there as far as what you probably heard some of these terms, the all-millennials, the post-millennials, and the pre-millennials, okay? And it's obvious from some of the people that I gave you resources that I'm using is that I will over the weeks to come, I'm going to probably, I'll tell you the differences, but I'm going to present it as from a pre-millennials view, okay? So just so you know that, so you're prepared for that, okay? But what I want you to know is that the main subject, as I said, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact is that he's coming back again. By the way, do you know that in the Old Testament, the church is never mentioned? Now, there's much prophecy about the church in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, the church is never mentioned. Because if you recall in the book of Ephesians, it speaks about the church being a mystery. And the mystery being the fact that God's grace, as it was told, there's still plenty of things in the Old Testament that says things like that there will become a seed of a woman who will crush Satan's head. That's the first indication that God had future plans for the redemption of mankind as they fell from grace. And even in Abraham, it's through you that all nations will be blessed. And so today we are part of that fulfillment, continual fulfillment of that, is that this gospel message came to all, both Jews and Gentiles, and we're in the day of grace and we're experiencing that. But in the Old Testament, the church was really a mystery. It wasn't really. So read, if you want, read out of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, and it'll explain that to you. But let me just say this. It's important, too, that we as those who study Scripture, is that we don't. See, some people don't want to study prophecy. They say, well, it's too confusing. You know, and so what happens then is, I'm going to tell you this, is a lot of churches ignore it. And so when they ignore it, I just want to let you know then, you as the church, if we're not studying it, is that we're leading to cults that would study and they would say things and, you know, they're not studying it properly and they have false ideas and false lies, and then it kind of filters out to the rest of the church and we kind of hear these things. We say, that's crazy. What I'm telling you is that God has given us, as I mentioned earlier, one-fourth of the book of the Bible, one-fourth of the Bible has to do with prophecy. And so why do we then study prophecy? Well, I'm going to tell you one of the greatest things, a couple of things. One of the things I want you to know more than anything else, and I hope this helps you as we study this, is the fact that it gives us great hope for the future. I want you to know that this God of ours that we have come to know personally as believers, He is our Heavenly Father. He loves you with an everlasting love. And as a father, just like if I'm a father, I want the best for my family. And I want to encourage my kids as they go through this life. And I want to see them do well. And I want them to know that this life can be lived in a way that honors God. And so God gives us these things so that you and I would have hope for the future. Now, I was just reading an article this morning in my preparation, and it was really, somebody was making a statement about even this past year when we look at what's happening in this world, not just the U.S., but throughout the world because of this pandemic. A lot of people have lost hope. A lot of people really are going through life and discouraged. But I want you to know, as we're going to study Daniel's life, we're going to see one who has gone through much adversity as well as prosperity, okay? And Daniel is one who was resolute, who stayed stable in his faith and trust in his God, not only through the adversities, but also through the prosperity. See, one of the books that I was studying out of, there was a pastor who went ahead and talked about, as he did a writing a foreword on this. And one of the things he talked about, the book of Daniel, was so important, was this test of what we call the test of prosperity and the test of adversity. And so I say to you, how do you handle adversity? You know, and here's the thing that normally happens. When adversity happens in our life, as we're going to see in Daniel's life, that's when we really want to get God's attention, or that's when God has our attention, am I right? We're wondering, where is God in all this? And God, I'm suffering in this, and God, I want you to know that I need your help. And we're calling out to God. But what happens through the times of prosperity? We normally forget, don't we? We don't think about God. But we're going to see through the life of Daniel, both through, you know, this was a man who went through much adversity. I mean, the things that happened to him, I mean, he was a young man. And we'll get into this in our study of chapter 1. He was a young man who, at probably at the age of 13 to 17, somewhere in that time frame, he was snatched away from his family and taken to captivity. And yet he's also the same man we're going to see through this book, is that he's elevated to second in command of the greatest kingdom in the world at that time. And he's elevated. Did he forget his God? No, and that's why I really love the book of Daniel. But here's the thing. Not only the hope that we have in study of book of Daniel, but in prophecy, if you'll turn with me over to 1 John chapter 3, and I want to give you another reason why it's important for us to study prophecy. Chapter 3, and I want to look at, let's pick it up actually at the end of chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. He's speaking about the second coming of Christ, is he not? If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and if so, we are. And the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And then here's the second purpose why you want to study. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. Do you see the hope of Christ coming again? Knowing that what he has for us in the future, us with the expectation that any moment Christ could come back. And as we study these things, I'm going to just tell you this. No one knows the date when he will appear. But he certainly gives us the signs and gives us many things in preparation for his coming. When we see these things coming, know that it is near, is what Jesus would say. So what does that do to us? If we live in a moment, and by the way, I'll just say this, all Christians have lived with the anticipation that at any moment Christ will come in their lifetime. See, that's one reason why God never gave the date. Because during this time of grace, all of us should be living with that expectation that our Savior could come back at any moment. Amen? And when you have that implanted in your heart, not just your mind knowing these things, but you have that in your heart that drives you in your love for Christ and your service for Christ. It says here it's a purifying hope. Isn't that good? That's how it should affect us, my dear brothers and sisters. So today we study these things because we want hope for the future. We want it to change our lives in expectation that Christ is coming. Remember Titus 2:13 says, waiting for what? That blessed hope. Well, let me say this also, that the book of Daniel has been a book of attack by many, particularly by Satan. You know, there's probably two other books in the Bible that are really attacked by Satan. One is Genesis. Okay. And the other is Isaiah. In fact, I know that from my experience with people that I know that work with people trying to reach out to the Jews, that I've been told that many Jews have been forbidden to read Isaiah chapter 53. It's a taboo to them. They're told not to read that. And yet it's Isaiah 53 that many have come to the Lord as they have read that and have really wanted to know, really, is Jesus our Messiah? Now, Daniel has been attacked from the standpoint is that all of the prophecies, as I said, that many of those have already been fulfilled. And people couldn't understand is that how can all these things be predicted like this to such accuracy, is that this couldn't have been written ahead of time. Well, what are they saying? That God can't predict what's going to happen in the future? You know, so they're doubting God. And that's what what does Satan want you to do? Oh, yay, has God really said? He wants to put doubt in your minds and your hearts. Okay? But I want you to know that the one who is and was and is yet to come, again, is Jesus Christ. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is all truth. And by the way, do you know when he did his Olivet discourse? You know, he referenced Daniel. In fact, most of that Olivet discourse, if you read it, most of that comes from the book of Daniel. And so Jesus even mentions his name. In Mark 24:15, he calls him the prophet. And so, and I've listened to all the reasons why, you know, they think Daniel's written at a different date and wasn't even the prophet. And I say, hogwash. I'm going to believe the word of God and believe my Savior when he says that Daniel was the author of this book. Amen? Now, Daniel is also a book that speaks about the times of the Gentiles. And so what I want you to do is turn. I made a reference to this already in something I said earlier, but go over to Luke. We want to look at that, Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And I'm going to go ahead and read, starting at verse 20. He says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that it is desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are the days of vengeance, to fulfill that is written, 'Alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be a great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled.'" So he's saying that Jerusalem itself will be trampled under the Gentiles' feet. In other words, they won't be a nation. They won't be a people and that's why I said to you earlier, look at what's happened just in our lifetime. For 2,600 years, Israel was not a nation, and she's been trampled underfoot. So again, I'm not a date setter, but I'm just telling you that I don't know how long it's going to be, but we are certainly a lot closer than we were 2,000 years ago. And as we get into later on chapters in Daniel, particularly as we look at Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream of this huge statue that really is a picture of the kingdoms of the Gentiles. Because I want you to know is that when Israel went ahead and denied their Messiah, okay, the scepter was basically taken away from them. And so through the years now, God's dealing has been through the Gentile nations. In fact, we know from some of Paul's writings is that some of the things that are happening is really towards not only for our salvation, but also to speak to the Jewish nation to bring them to, he says, jealousy. So that they'll see that. So what I'm saying is that we are living in the times of the Gentiles. And so Daniel speaks much about that. And we're going to see that. We're going to see a timeline as to, you know, when these things happen, what's already been fulfilled, and what's yet to come. And what's yet to come is that we know that from that statue that we're going to see in chapter 2, is that it speaks of all those kingdoms of the Gentiles. What happens? A stone, a rock comes and smashes right at the feet the last part of the dominion of the Gentile nations and destroys that all the kingdoms and sets up an everlasting kingdom. Well, who is the rock? Who is the rock of ages? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is coming back again. He is going to establish a forever kingdom. And so Daniel speaks much about the times of the Gentiles. The other thing that's important about the book of Daniel is that it's key. Now, you heard our pastor say, I think a week ago or 2 weeks ago, is that in his personal time that he's studying the book of Revelation. Okay, my own son and his new wife, Nancy and I, we spend every Friday over at their house. We do a Bible study together as family. And I asked them what they want to study. And they said, "Well, if we'd like to study the book of Revelation." I says, "Well, we will. We may get eventually to that." I says, "But we will not study Revelation until we study Daniel." Because Daniel is almost like the skeleton of prophecy. That if you can't really understand Revelation properly until you have a proper understanding of Daniel. So that's why, so right now we are going through Daniel. In fact, last night we're into chapter 7, so we're a little bit ahead of you guys, but that's all right. It's a good warm-up for me as I do the class, okay? But in the time we have left, I want to talk about Daniel, the man, okay? We probably know more about Daniel than any other prophet. And it's probably something, as I mentioned about this before, and I want you to think about this. Daniel is a normal person. He's not some superhuman, all right? And we kind of feel that way at times, you know? I mean, we kind of look at characters in the Bible and we say, man, they were so, you know, they're above human. You know, I mean, the things they did and how faithful they were and the miracles that God did through them. But Daniel was just an ordinary man like you and I. I mean, like I said, when we first get introduced to Daniel, he's a very young man. Now, he's of the tribe of Judah, you know, because when Nebuchadnezzar, when they would go in and they would attack a kingdom, they would go in and take the royal families and take the best of those nations and bring them back. And Daniel was brought back into captivity in order to brainwash him in the ways of the Chaldeans. And so that's what happened to him. He was taken out of his land, snatched out, and brought. But he was just an ordinary man. And I guess that's one reason that many of you probably heard me say this, is Daniel is one of my favorite characters of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there's two people that I really look at. Daniel, obviously, is probably number one for me, okay? Now, there's a lot of great, and I'm not saying I lift them up, but I'm saying it's for somebody for me to look at as an example of godly living, okay? Because one thing you'll find out in the character Daniel, and by the way, we're not only going to study Daniel just because of the prophecies. As I said, we're going to see that there's first six chapters really is a chronological order of Daniel and his life. Okay. I want us to see as a class is that I want us to see that study of Daniel will help you in your walk as a believer and encourage you in your walk. Because as I mentioned earlier, there's the test of adversity and the test of prosperity. And this Daniel is a man who stands above the crowd. I mean, by the way, when you talk about adversity, as I mentioned earlier, one of the things that we know of Daniel, he was a very praying man. I mean, all through the book, first time they have a problem, what does he do? He calls in a prayer meeting with his three friends. How's this for a prayer meeting? You have a prayer meeting on something, and because of that prayer meeting, you get thrown into a lion's den. That was all because of prayer. But he was a man of prayer. And here's another thing. You never see anything that they could cause any kind of thing that says there's a flaw in his character. Now, obviously, he's human. In fact, in that great prayer in chapter 9, you want to see a model prayer? Go there and study that prayer for a while. And he prays and he asks forgiveness for his own sin. He knows he's a sinner, but he's a faithful man that has trust in the living God. And so Daniel has, there's never anything you ever see brought out against him. In fact, when they trapped them into getting into the lion's den, as we'll get into that story later on, and you know the story, most of you do, is that they tried to find some kind of flaw in his character or his dealings. They couldn't find nothing. So they came up with this scheme about, well, we'll find something against his religion and his God. So I want you to know is that the key to Daniel, by the way, the second person I really liked was Joseph. Here's a man who, you know, his family turned against him. He was hated. I mean, he went through, you talk about adversity, we all know the story of that, okay? There was jealousy, there was hatred, tried to kill him. thrown into slavery. And you don't find much against him. Even when he was away, he was tempted with one of the most grossest sins to have in a relationship with his owner's wife. I mean, he was a servant. But I love Daniel because of the fact that all these things he goes through and he remains faithful. And how many have heard this before about dare to be a Daniel? I asked some people that I'd never heard of that. But wasn't it a song we used to sing in Sunday school, Dare to be a Daniel? Okay, well, maybe one day one of you could sing it for us in the class. So, by the way, Daniel passed the test, as we're going to see, the test of adversity and also prosperity. Now, one of the main purpose of Daniel is really to declare God's glory. Okay, and I want you to think of that. Every time that he runs into something and God answers for him, he's always given credit to his God. Okay? Everything that he goes through, he's always pointing people to our God, the great God. And he's really doing this to show really that God is in control of everything. One thing I want you to understand is that we have a God who's in control. As I mentioned earlier, you look all over this past year, and a lot of Christians are even getting discouraged and doubting what is God doing. By the way, in that article I was telling you I read earlier, is they were making reference to the fact that one of the strongest growing churches, where do you think that's at? Where? Iran. Here was a people that when the mullahs took over, and this radical religion took over, and it changed that nation, and you would think that nothing could happen. Now, here are people, Christians, who were under persecution, could even lose their life. That nation, within that nation, has grown so much, the Christian church has. And we kind of sit here and go, woe is us. Look what's going on. I was caught into that. I mean, I got all hyped up with all this last election and everything else. I'll be honest with you. For a while there, I was really discouraged. I thought for sure God was going to do something else. But God's ways are not our ways, are they? He does things differently. Why? For his glory. And we're going to see through the life of Daniel and the things that he says that happen, is that it should give you great hope that your future is in his hands. Remember, he says, nothing will happen to us. All things work together for good. Am I right? Tells us in Romans 8:28. Now, here's another thing about, he not only declares God's glory and the sovereignty of God, but I want you to know that all through these things that Daniel goes through, he never bails out. He never compromises. He never says, well, you know, maybe just for this time I'll just kind of, you know, as long as I don't let them see me praying, I'll be okay. Or maybe, you know, the kings meet, you know, maybe we'll just ignore that, you know. But he doesn't do that. He never bails out. He sticks to the fact that he sold out completely to God. You know, here's another thing. You know, God says about him, turn over to Daniel chapter 10. I want you to see what God says about Daniel. Daniel 10. This is when one of the angels comes to him in 10:11. He says right here. Well, I'll pick it up at verse 10. And behold, the hand touched me and sent me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you. Don't you? I really like that. When you're going through something and you're praying and your heart is having issues and you're maybe getting to a point you may want to doubt, I want you to know you could go to your God. And I want you to know that's how he thinks of you. And I want him to think of me like that. Oh, man, greatly loved. You are greatly loved no matter what you're going through. And that's what it says here about Daniel. He was a man greatly loved of God. Okay? As I mentioned earlier, there's no evil motives ever that really are attributed to Daniel throughout the book as we study his life. But three things I think I got about a couple more minutes. Three things about this man. Daniel was a man of purpose. Okay? There's three things that one of these authors brought out. That he was a man of purpose. He had courage. Now, by the way, aren't we told to run the race, to win the race? Okay? Not to lose sight of the goal set before us. But if we're going to be in this journey of life as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we should be people of purpose that we will be faithful in our pursuit to win the race. I hope every one of you have it in your hearts that you want to stand someday and hear your Savior say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Will you study this life of Daniel and you come along this journey with me and you'll see a man that's able to make it through adversity and prosperity. He was a man of purpose. He loved his God and he was committed to his God. Secondly, as I mentioned earlier, is that Daniel was a man of prayer. Over and over you again see throughout all the stories that we're going to cover that he was a man of prayer. And as I mentioned earlier about chapter 9, you really should spend time. I did this one time. I went ahead and I just wrote all the things down. I kind of separated them out and just noted all the things that he prayed about and all the things that were on his heart as he was praying to his God when he was really concerned. Because by the time he prays this prayer in chapter 9, he's towards the end of that 70 years of captivity. And it was told that after the 70 years, the people would go back. And at the end of that 7 years, he doesn't see that happening. And then he has these visions about the Gentile world, about these kingdoms expanding, and seeing these terrible beasts that represents these kingdoms. And he's really concerned. And you see him, he goes to prayer, and he brings his concerns to his God. It's a great model prayer. Spend time studying that over the next few weeks. And then, as we have talked already, is that Daniel is a man of prophecy. As I'll say this, the first half is history, and the last half is prophecy. The one notes that Daniel gives us a skeleton of prophecy on which all prophecy is placed. The image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the beast in chapter 7 are the backbone of prophecy, particularly as we're going to be studying the times of the Gentiles and what that looks like, okay? But then I want you to turn over to chapter 2, and we're going to look at and read the key verse of Daniel. Chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 44. "And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever." So that is the key to this when we talk about the prophecy and the future that we're going to see in the book of Daniel. Okay? Now, I'll give you a quote by Campbell Morgan that he says this. He says this about the book of Daniel. "Persistent government of God in the government of the world. Okay? Persistent government of God in the government of the world. So let me move then to the theme right here, okay? And it's really kind of twofold. And I've already mentioned this to you, and I'll close with this. Encourage the exiled Jews and to reveal God's plan during and after the times of the Gentiles. That's one thing, is to encourage. Encourage his people. And that's what Daniel does. He gives encouragement. He asks of God, what are these things? When will you deal with your people? And he gives them great hope for the future. And the second theme is it displays God's sovereign power through many miracles, as we're going to see as we walk through the book of Daniel. You see, Daniel believed that God had everything in control. He never lost sight of that. And that's something that we must hold on to as we study this book, as we journey in this life as pilgrims. This ain't our home, dear brothers and sisters. We're just passing on through. But as we're passing on through, God has purpose for us. And that purpose is to share the good news of Jesus Christ to this lost world. And they have our hope in God that someday we're going to live with him and reign with him. Amen. Now, I'm not going to take time. I've kind of given the explanation on here in your notes. There is the kind of the timeline for Daniel. We'll cover a lot of this as we go through more of the detail in upcoming chapters. Okay. Any comments, questions as we close? Got hope for the future? Come on now. Come on. As I said this before, and when we get together as church, we should be joyful people. We have all things in. Go ahead.
I just looked up the Dear Daniel, the lyrics, so is it okay if I just read a few? It's pretty long.
Do you want to hear it? Some of them? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, share it. I remember as a kid singing that. You know, I don't remember the lyrics. I'm really getting up there in age now. You know, so. But they say when you get up in age, you should remember things in the past. You don't have no problem with that kind of memory. You know, and so. Anyway, anybody else has something they want to say? Okay, let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this time together this morning. Lord, thank you for the very fact that as we study the book of Daniel, Lord, that it does give us great hope for the future. And Lord, that you are the God of truth. And Lord, you have given us this book to tell us, Lord, of what the things are to come. Not to be afraid of. Not to, Lord, get into some kind of way of, you know, setting ourselves up as something great that we know these things. Lord, you have given us so that you want to encourage us, to tell us, Lord, that there is a hope for the future. To let us know, Lord, we look forward to that day when through the clouds, Jesus will come again. In his full glory, coming here to take control of what is his, rightfully his. Lord, one of the greatest things you showed me in scriptures comes out of Revelation chapter 4 and 5, that wonderful scene in heaven where John is crying out because nobody was worthy to take the scroll. And he's weeping. And then they tell him, quiet, there is one, the lion. And then he hears the Lamb speak. And he takes his rightful position on the throne. And he takes the scroll. And we know that he sits in full authority, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And someday you're coming back. And I pray, O Lord, that you'll keep that hope before us. That as we've talked about today, Lord, that it would purify us. That we will be people like Daniel. Through adversity or prosperity, we never lose sight of who you are. So bless, Lord, our time as we study this wonderful book. Bless us now, Lord. We want you to be blessed in this next hour. Lord, this is your hour when your children come to honor you and worship you. So may you be exalted in this next hour as we worship Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.